It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
All aboard. We're about to leave the station. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, and you're listening to the Internet Advisor Live with my co-host Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson. The posse is in the studio today. We're going to be talking about Mother's Day coming up with a high-tech mom. Her name is Michelle McGraw. Lots of stuff to talk with about her. Maybe even some last-minute tips for Dad about what to get for the high-tech mom. And Andre Abrelas will be with us to talk about high-tech.
Now back to the Internet Advisor. Once again, your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Riddell.
Well, we have the posse all back together again from their travels hither and yon, including mine. It's good to have you, Gary Baker, back here in studio with me.
Actually, you back in the studio with us. Welcome back.
Thank you. Ed Riddell, good to see you, too.
Always great to be here, Foster.
And the other masked man here is Mr. Cal Carson. How you doing?
Well, you've talked to the hither. Now you can yawn.
Well, guys, we got a great program lined up. We're going to be talking with Michelle McGraw a little bit about high-tech moms and maybe some gifts for them coming up. I'm curious, did you have any special kind of things that you're doing for moms that can be revealed publicly before the exact date?
Nothing from a technology standpoint. Okay. At 88 years old, she's still going strong, but not online much anymore.
I heard Leo Laporte talking about his 80-something mother using an iPad, and just, you know, but it was Leo Laporte's mother. Yeah. What can we say? Any Emma for you? Anything for your mom?
I'll take the fifth.
Cal?
Well, my maternal mom is not with me anymore, but that's fine. But for the mom that I do live with, probably another high-tech gadget to go in her kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. All right.
We'll see what happens.
Not necessarily wireless.
A blender, eh?
We've already passed that one, I think, but you never know.
I think in the case of my dear wife, Jenny, I should avoid high-tech because it just causes high blood pressure.
Yeah, I was just going to say she'd thank you for that.
Plus, you can't get the Windows interface on a blender anyway.
She, I will have you know, is using an Android phone, the Galaxy Express, and she's also using Windows 8 on our desktop. And I still get the calls from the other room.
It'd be nothing better than having like a wall oven with those big icons on it when you want to be able to cook with it. Yeah.
Well, something has happened this week, guys, I thought we'd talk about is the, should we all kind of have a moment of silence here, hold our hands over our heart for the dearly departed Facebook phone? What happened?
We have to have a moment of silence? Can't we celebrate?
I guess maybe depending on your point of view.
Actually, based upon the number of phones that they let go out, it's probably silent anyway because no one's using them.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
It dropped to 99 cents.
It dropped, folks, for any of you may have not heard, it went from like $99 at AT&T less than a month ago to 99 cents.
Well, that's almost as quick as when HP dropped their touchpad. Oh, the tablet.
That's right. Start giving them away.
It wasn't quite that bad. And then people started buying them.
Yeah, then the people dropped
them. Well, then it was a great deal. And it may be, matter of fact, Cal, we were kidding about this. You need to replace a phone. It may be actually a good phone to get in.
Yeah, you just go
basic
ahead.
Android phone for 99
cents. After Cal gets his, then you can say that. We don't want anybody to, like, jack the price back up again.
You know,
if they accidentally ship you two, Cal, I'd like one, too. Oh. I'll give you 99 cents.
Ed, you were buying up those
HP, what was it, the touchpads.
Touchpads.
Yeah, you were buying them up when they got down
to
one.
No, I didn't buy them up, but I had a lot of Boy Scouts that did, you know. And because you could throw that the CyanogenMod Android operating system on there, and it became a wonderful tablet at that point.
So what is the basic problem, do you think, with this Facebook phone?
I think one of the first things that's the problem with it is Facebook.
Yeah, you said it.
You know, first of all, the younger groups are starting to move away from Facebook because it's becoming mom book and dad book. And it's just too many of those older guys hanging out on it. And then the other thing is that, you know, do you really want a phone that every time someone posts a picture of their meatballs that you're going to get a text message saying, hey, Foster put up a picture of his meatballs again? You know, it's going to do it. It's going to do it for everything.
There's just something off about that.
Okay, your spaghetti and meatballs.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That helps. But there are a lot of people still, regardless of whether you think it's passe or not, there's a lot of people. Was close to a billion people around the world using Facebook. You would think
there's a billion people using Facebook. Facebook put out an app for the phone that you can put on other phones other than their phone.
And that's great.
And they've gotten a download of a million people.
Yeah.
From a billion users.
Ouch.
They've only had a million people download it.
Really? Yikes.
Because it's annoying.
Now, but I will say, did you see it that on iOS now? That there's a little on your Facebook app on our iPhones, the little bubble with the face comes up on it. Have you seen that yet?
No.
Oh, that actually is kind of cute. There's a little bubble that appears on top of the Facebook screen, and if you click on it, it then opens up to the message from the person, and all you do is just drag the face down then off the screen, and you're done with it. But it really is, that's what are the, chat heads. It was called Chat Heads.
All I do is just drag the Facebook icon off the screen and then hit the delete key.
Oh, you are such a naysayer, Cal.
I'm going to be completely honest. It has its value, but it's not the type of value that I'm looking for, okay? If I was into the social thing and I always wanted to know what was going on, it might be something that I could really use. And I'm sure there's billions of people who think it's cool. Mm. But it's just not for me.
And we have a private family Facebook site, right? And, leading up to Mother's Day, it's everybody in the, far-flung Baker family is getting on and saying, okay, what are we doing?
Yes.
There's always two or three mothers in our lives, so we have to coordinate all of that. And that makes it good.
What's curious
but that's
is...
that's just for our family, and you have to be on the list for the family to actually get in.
But I think the Facebook has such an incredible cachet that I'm still surprised that it dropped almost as fast as the Windows Kin phone.
Yeah.
Dropped.
But let's going back to what Cal said. Facebook, great, right? He said some other things that maybe not. But Facebook, great. Do you want it on your phone?
And, hey,
obviously,
and there's a phone out.
Not a lot of people
and
don't.
Right now, there's the HTC First out there, folks. It's for 99 cents. Back in just a moment to talk with Michelle McGraw about a high-tech moms and their day. Thank you once again for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. And for those of you who would like to get a question into us and don't listen to our program live or listen on the Michigan Talk Radio Network, simply go to our website, internetadvisor.net, and on the Connect Contact Us button, click that, and then you can send us an email with your question, and we'll be getting to them as well. Coming up a second hour, we'll be taking the questions live here. One thing I would like to point out for those of you who are fans of the Southeastern Michigan Computer Organization, they've got a big day coming up tomorrow for those of you listening to us live, and they're meeting at the Engineering Society of Detroit, and we have more details on that on our homepage, internetadvisor.net. They're going to be focusing this month on big data. Where did it come from, and why should I care? Which may be an important question for you to answer. In any case, they're meeting at, again, the Engineering Society of Detroit. That's in Southfield, Michigan, on Sunday afternoon, tomorrow, 1:45 is when it begins. Go to internetadvisor.net and find out more under the news items. Well, I am delighted to welcome to our program right now a touch of class, considering the ruffians I'm in studio with here right now. And that is Michelle McGraw is with us. Michelle, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Oh, thank you.
Delighted to have you with us. Michelle, you have a lot of different kind of handles on the internet. One of the places I found you was scrapsofmygeeklife.com. What in the world is that?
That is my blog, and it's kind of a compilation of all of my hobbies in one place, and everything I do kind of has a tech angle. So I'm a scrapbooker, so that's where the scraps come from. And then of my geek life, because everything I do has a geek angle to it. So,
how did you get to be a geek?
You know, I think I was born a geek, actually. It's definitely in my family. My grandfather, who died about 20 years ago, but at that way back then had a computer in his house, and he and my dad used to rig up the computer so they could talk to each other.
Wow.
And this was back before, you know, instant messaging and all of that. So, you know, we were always first to have the microwave, first to have the beta, you know.
Well,
so it's in my blood.
Well, Michelle, I have to tell you, I'm reading on your site about you, and it was interesting the order that you describe yourself, a 40-somethings geek trying to juggle four kids, blog, and then husband, and then running and living a healthy lifestyle, and it goes on and on about social media and fitness games and Lego stars and Star Wars, and wow, I can't even, I'm breathless just trying to read what you do, and you have time for us on the radio.
My weekends are my time.
Aha.
You're going into my time, so That's a good thing.
So you've got a web page, and you've also got, one of the things I liked about what, and we posted in this on our homepage, internetadvisor.net, tech mom bloggers, those are the ones that you're listening to, and then there's another one of your favorite blogs. Tell me a little bit about what I'm kind of perceiving is that there is a culture of high-tech moms out there. Am I right in perceiving that?
Yes, definitely. There's the whole mom bloggers group, but then there's a smaller niche of us who are basically more tech bloggers who happen to also be moms.
Ah, what aspect of tech blogging is your favorite, where you start?
For me, I like to call myself a lifestyle technology blogger because I really like to talk about things, the gadgets, the tools that are going to make our lives easier. I mean, obviously with me, I'm running a business, I have four kids. I could not do it without all of my gadgets. It keeps me in line, and it keeps me organized. So I really like to write about those kind of things that we use in our everyday lives.
I'm curious, is your husband as into tech as you are?
Yes, he is.
He'd have to be, wouldn't he?
Well,
yes, as a matter of fact, my husband and I met on AOL.
Oh, my. All right. There we go. I was wondering if this was kind of the reverse of what has been, pardon me, but like the traditional setup where you've got dad and his gadgets and all his high-tech stuff, and then mom kind of trying to pry him away from whatever screen he happens to be on.
It actually is more that way, because while my husband is of a geek, a little bit of a geek, I'm more the geek. I'm usually the one who's in bed with my cell phone or my tablet, and he's like, "Will you put that away, please?" So yes, it is the reverse.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm curious, Michelle. I got a question for you, and that is, you know, with the advent of Facebook and the 24-hour, you know, 7 days a week, always letting you know what's going on, that sort of thing, why did you set up a separate blog instead of just post everything out on Facebook?
My blog actually kind of started, I never was meant to be a business. I started it as a way when my oldest was real young, we had moved away from family for a couple years, and I was tired of, you know, sending out one picture to like 20 different people and keeping up with email addresses. Finally, I just said, I'm just going to create it wasn't even a blog then, it was just a web page that I created and put all this on. And then as my kids got older and my interest became more of my own than just my kids, it kind of progressed, and before I knew it, people were reading it other than my parents and family, and then before I knew it, I had brands contacting me, and it just sort of evolved to that.
Wow.
So back when I started it, Facebook wasn't even around.
It's interesting you mentioned brands contacting you. So people were beginning to see that there was a value in moms who talk to moms.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I always like to talk about, we've always had the power, I think, in the families to, you know, over the purchases, but I think now we have a place to talk about that other than just the neighborhood groups. You know, we have a much larger audience now.
Right. And, you know, I was interested because I went down a few of them that you like, and I'm on teachmama.com, and yes. that there's some really great resources out there.
Yes.
And they don't have to be techie people to enjoy what's being said, right?
Exactly.
It seems like the perfect combination of I have four daughters as well as my wife. You know, the women seem to excel at relationships, and this is kind of like taking that on the one hand and then plugging in all these other electronic means to make it come together.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and I think for many of us, I mean, I quit working when my first was born, so I was at home, and so immediately the computer was always there, and it was, to me, it was a way for me to keep up the social, the relationships, but yet be at home, and I could also do it on my own schedule. It's really hard to have even friendships right now. With my four kids all being very active, it's very difficult for me to keep up the friendships in my neighborhood because we all have different schedules.
Yep.
But yet I always know I can go online onto Twitter or Facebook, and there's always going to be somebody there to talk with. And I've met a lot of these people in person now, so... You know, it kind of just solidifies the relationship.
So, with that many people in the house, I get texts once in a while from my wife or my son, and I'm going, "Wait a minute, you're home," and I stick my head out of the out of the family room, and yeah, they're standing there right at the kitchen. I'm getting a text from them. So that happens at your house too, I'll bet.
Oh yeah, that happens a lot. As a matter of fact, just right before I did the show here, I was telling my daughter she needed to. I thought she was at a friend's house, and I was texting her, telling her she needed to bring something home, and she's like, "I'm in my room."
Yeah, that helps.
Oh, okay.
There are so many resources here, Michelle, and I'd love to continue your conversation with you sometime in the future as well about some of these things as well. But just for the people who are listening right now, what attracted me to what Michelle is doing there is this wonderful extension of relationships and resources, and really giving moms platforms for being able to share their particular gifts. Eddie, you have a niece who shares that one cookie recipe a day.
Yeah, cookie a day, yeah.
A cookie a day. I mean, there's wonderful things that are out there. So if you go to internetadvisor.net, on our homepage, you'll see both a link to Michelle's webpage and then links to some of the other pages around that are mom blogs. So is there any particular, any particular gift you're hoping for this Mother's Day?
Actually, a Keurig is what I want.
A what?
Oh, Keurig! The coffee machine that makes the one cup of coffee.
Ooh.
They're on sale right now at Best Buy.
Yes, tell
your family.
Right now, doing the shopping, so.
All right. Michelle, have a wonderful Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's
Great.
Day.
Thank you so much for being with us. It's good to have you along with us for our program today. I'm Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson in studio with us as well. And a reminder again, by the way, that a great place to go for the information behind our shows is the homepage, internetadvisor.net. I try to collect as much information as I can there for you so that when you listen to us live or when you listen to us on our podcasts, you can click on that and get all the information behind, for instance, Michelle's favorite blogs. We're just talking with Michelle McGraw. So keep that in mind because our next guest has got some information he wants to share with us as well on that. Gary, why don't you introduce our next guest because of his being in the IT field?
Well, I was going to let you actually pronounce Andre's last name only because you speak Spanish so well, and I'll murder it for sure.
Well, Andre Arbeláez. If you want to get the Z would be a TH.
You're
going to push the on button underneath your papers there. There you go. And he's with us.
All got right. it. Thank you.
Well, and
technology here.
So, Andre, welcome to the show. Thank you, Foster, for pronouncing Andre's last name. We serve on the WIN, the Workforce Intelligence Network IT board together.
Yes, we do.
And that's been a pretty good group that is really trying to focus on helping us develop or attract or somehow increase the number of IT workers here in Michigan. I know it's a problem in other places, but it's an acute problem here, isn't it?
Very much so. And it's an area where there's so much opportunity, as we're seeing with the revitalization of Detroit. And people are starting to take notice. Last year, my organization, the Hispanic IT Executive Council, threw an event in Silicon Valley. And the president of Cisco, a gentleman named Gary Moore, specifically pointed out
that he is becoming concerned with Detroit and Michigan from a employment loss perspective.
Yep.
Wow. Because he saw that the cost of living in California is so much, the government, the tax structure, and the opportunities that are happening here in Detroit are amazing. And fortunately, we had people in the room from Pure Michigan.
I love
hearing that.
I love it. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the Hispanic IT Executive Council. What are some of the unique challenges that the Hispanic community has faced in terms of getting people involved in IT, and particularly in our Detroit area, where we have a really a rich Hispanic heritage here?
Yes. Even probably going back further or going from a broader scope, the Hispanic IT Executive Council really is a national organization, mm-hmm. but founded in Detroit, ironically,
really cool.
by four gentlemen, Frank DeArmas, David Segura, David Olivencia, and Jose Guerra, about 6 years ago, coming out of a national organization called NASHIMBA, which is the National Society of Hispanic MBAs. And they found that there was a core problem. There wasn't attention to technology for Hispanics.
Mm.
So this organization was founded here in Detroit, and but it's gone national. And with all the population growth here in the country, and let alone starting to become more more impactful here in Michigan, with 17% of the United States population, 53 million people being Hispanic.
Wow.
And probably more impressive is the growth rates.
Yes.
The non-Hispanic growth rate in the United States is 5%. With Hispanics, it's 43%.
Oh, wow.
So we're doing something right in the bedroom. Yeah.
No problem there, eh?
Happy Dia de la Madre. Okay, yeah, all right. But now, in particular, I'd be interested to see what are kind of the statistics in terms of getting young Hispanic men and women involved in this area in particular and technology.
And that's what we're working very heavily on, getting that community here in Detroit. As a matter of fact, we've partnered with local high schools like Detroit Cristo Rey to bring them in. We've invited a group of their students, and there'll be about eight of them coming to our event this week. We're also partnering with colleges, particularly Lawrence Tech University,
right,
to bring their students into it, because you need to get them thinking about STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. And even now, some of our board members are including now using the word STEAM, which is including the word, the A for arts.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening is it's bringing more women into the technology sector when you bring arts, because you're able to expose them to things that they would not normally be thinking
that
of.
That is interesting.
So one of our board members, the chief technology officer for Lockheed Martin, has been really leading this challenge out of Washington, D.C., about STEAM, and we're just trying to transfer that to all the key locations that we're involved in the country.
That's key. We're talking with Andre Arbeláez, who is the president of the Hispanic IT Executive Council. Now, you have an event coming up. I want to make sure that we touch on that coming up, as a matter of fact, this week, the IT Leadership Summit, right? It's going to be taking place at the Renaissance Center in Detroit. What are some of the key things happening there?
The theme is transforming communities through technology. As I travel around the country, let alone around the world, for my day job, you see communities really coming together, and you see the connection between universities, local, public and private partnerships, and corporations recognizing that they need to go deep into the community. And with what we're seeing, what's happening in Detroit and the revitalization, down the Woodward Corridor, in Campus Martius all the way up through Midtown.
Right.
I took a personal stake in this and brought high tech to Detroit, the summit, because I have a lot of connections here in the Detroit area, and I just said, I got to leverage this and show this community that Hispanics are an important part of your future growth because of the population numbers. We represent an economy by 2015 of $1.5 billion will make us the ninth largest economy in the world, just the Hispanics in the United States.
It's amazing.
Let alone far more than any ethnic group in the country. Yeah. And so corporate America recognizes that, and bringing that to Detroit was key. And the response I've gotten from the automotive companies has been tremendous, because they recognize that.
Oh, they
as
do,
well.
Yeah.
And some of them are now speaking at the summit coming up next week on the 16th and 17th.
Yes,
right?
All the way from Fred Killeen, who's the CTO of General Motors. Very honored to have Scott Sanschaefer, the Chrysler Corporation CIO, all the way to Maru Flores, who is the director of information management and manufacturing at Ford Motor Company, and just as impressively, the president of the Michigan Council of Women in Technology.
Right.
I love it.
But also, the CIO of Johnson & Johnson Global Surgery, Frank DeArmas, who is, you know, a native Detroiter, Jorge Lopez from Gartner, a distinguished analyst and senior vice president, and got some local flavor with Josh Linkner.
Oh, yes.
From
great.
Our venture partner.
But
and you can't claim him in Hispanic. No. We know Josh.
We're not
claiming. I've had Josh on a number of times.
I have to tell you, but I looked at this list of speakers and said, I didn't think Josh is funny. You don't look Spanish, you know. I kind of think Josh Linkner is an outstanding speaker, and we've been on our show before. Love him. That's great.
Yeah, so, and also adding Casey Crane to round up the from Crane's
Committee.
They all recognize the importance of this.
Now his wife is Brazilian. So
Scott says yes.
Oh, Scott, right.
Yes.
You're right. You're right. It's not Casey.
Yeah, Kel.
You know, it's interesting because you talk about a lot of the high shooters in high tech that are going to be speaking at your conference. But I do have a question, and it's because it prompted me to think about this when you talked about the Woodward Corridor, and a lot of that is with the youth of America that's involved in that. I would imagine that in the Hispanic community, it is also true that most of the young people are the strongest people who are involved in the high-tech portion of that community, and how is that growing, and are they facing the same challenges that other ethnic communities are facing in getting the technology to them?
Mm, good question.
That is a great question. There is multiple angles, and we see how it's handled differently per parts of the country. For example, in California, they have Hispanic scholarship funds and Hispanic universities. If you go to in the Miami area, where we have a lot of activity, they're working really hard to make Miami the Silicon Valley for Latin America, because it's such. And I'm involved in that organization called Emerge Americas. And so there is a lot of different. You go to New York, and if you don't speak Spanish in New York City, you may be in a little bit of trouble. It is.
And their brand of Spanish.
Yes. Because you have such a strong Dominican, Puerto Rican, and Colombian group there, that it is. Everywhere you go, there is deep reaches within the community.
So along those lines, though, that question, what is it like in Detroit? Because we do have a pretty significant population focus here.
Yes, and companies like GM is, I think, a really great example of reaching into that through sponsorship of organizations like the Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers. There's a couple other groups in the financial side called Alpha, and as well as corporate America going deep into these communities through, like, partnership projects like Cristo Rey.
You mentioned, Andre, and I have to say this. Over the years, I have been impressed when I've gone online to find tremendous resources, geek, if you will, resources in Spanish coming out of places like Central America, out of Argentina, out of a lot of different places in Latin America. I've always been impressed. It's almost as if there is a whole cutting-edge culture that's been going on for a long time down there.
Well said. There is a major influence now coming to the United States from Latin America. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in New York City for an event called Nearshore Americas, where it was the exposure of Latin American companies that do the nearshoring services away from India into Latin America. The same time zone, same culture, and you can be at your development center by lunchtime.
Wow, that's fantastic. Andre Arbeláez is with us. He's been talking about. He's the president of the Hispanic IT Executive Council. Just to remind you that IT Leadership Summit is taking place this week. Again, if you'd like more information on both High Tech, the organization, and on the summit coming up, please go to internetadvisor.net. Back in just a moment. Thank you for joining us again for the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Cal Carson, and Mr. Mike Brennan with our weekly report, the Michigan Tech News Report with Mike Brennan. How you doing, Mike?
Doing great, Foster. Thanks for asking.
Did you make any money at the track last weekend? That's what I want to know first off.
Well, I lost on Friday, but I won $600 on Saturday, but then I gave back about $200. So that's one thing. All gamblers will tell you, we never lose money.
Just redistribute the wealth, huh?
Well, fun. That's the only time I go gamble. I got a buddy that's really into casinos.
But. I understand. Well, Mike, this week we'd like to find out some of the top news headlines in your Michigan Tech News. And maybe we could start off out in San Francisco talking about something nasty in the apple orchard.
Macworld's reported about a week or so ago that the iOS App Store, they found a game called Simply Find that had traces of malware coding, I can do it, in it. But it turned out to be that it was a non-functional Trojan horse malware. That's where they load this on your machine, and then your machine reports back to a command and control center Well, the website that was supposed to be the command and control center was non-responsive. Now, that does not mean they cannot make that responsive. I mean, that's how all these botnets are created, and we get all this spam and everything.
How did they find it? Was this just part of the team looking at the App Store?
Yeah, as far as I know, they were just, I'm not sure if a customer found it, but they, Macworld was reporting, and I think it's their people that found this. I mean, this is not uncommon. It happened back in July of 2012, same thing. I mean, the lesson to be learned here, anybody that's listening, is it's don't ever download anything from anybody you're not expecting. And I really have a problem even with these app stores downloading stuff, even when it's been vetted and everything, because this kind of stuff, there's so many apps out there, this kind of stuff can really happen. And then, you know, you lose, especially on smartphones, you lose control of the smartphone. I mean, most people have better antivirus software on their computers that they use at their, you know, laptop, not. But smartphones is a whole different thing. So.
Yeah, we got to talk about that sometime, about the whole security issue about both tablets and smartphones have been kind of lagging behind, and it's there's got to be some enterprising people looking to dig into that. Now, you've also, speaking about security, there's a summit coming up pretty soon on cybersecurity in Michigan.
Yeah, this one surprised me last year. They didn't give me much notice. And in fact, I called my buddy Richard Steenan, and usually he hears about these things before I do, but he wasn't aware of it. But Merit Network is hosting the Michigan Cybersecurity Summit on May 14th in Ann Arbor, and the theme is Building Michigan's Cybersecurity Industry. And, you know, Doug Sung, I know that Gary knows him real well, is a big player in Ann Arbor. He's involved in this. And, of course, Merit is the big dog when it comes to working with the various schools around the state universities. They provide all that backbone and all the stuff that goes on there with it.
Am I right? Excuse me. Like, Merit is where...
We do have a pretty small security industry in the state, but it is growing.
And Merit, isn't that the place that began, the internet began?
That's
with
right.
The ARPANET?
They were contracted to manage the internet back when it was called NSFNet.
NSFNet.
And with their two partners, IBM and MCI.
So it's interesting, Mike, to have that history with Merit and then having them now and, kind of on the cutting edge of this.
And Don Welch, who's the president of Merit, and Doug Song, who Mike just mentioned, have both been our guests here.
Yep.
So good quality resources there in Ann Arbor and for the state of Michigan.
Let's talk about a few other things you've got in your headlines before we wrap things up here.
Well, one that you flagged, you liked in my newsletter. The Corn Growers Association is having a T-shirt design contest.
I love it.
It's a Michigan business. Yeah, I know it's not really an internet business, but they're giving away prizes and different things for young designers out there that want to submit, you know, this whole thing to the Races T-Shirt Design Contest. And, you know, anything that gets notoriety for our young artists in our creative class, what the heck.
And right? it really ties into a lot of the future of the Ethanol Night at the Races T-Shirt Design Contest, I think it's called.
Yeah, that too. It ties into that. Those are some couple of big ones, you know. But
it's fun. It's just a fun it's seeing that there's a push out there to get young people who are involved in design to get involved in this as well. I understand that Internet 2 is expanding. We've had Doug Van Howell on with us on a long time ago. But Internet 2 is that expansion now is going beyond just the shores of the U.S., and it's going to Singapore.
Singapore, a place I visited many years ago, very hot. Anyway, yeah, they're in partnership with New York University, Duke University, University of Chicago, Florida International University. And so the same kind of connections, I mean, Internet 2, as we all know, is like the super experimental backbone where all the heavy bandwidth stuff that eats up a lot of space is being developed. And whether it comes to the real world Internet remains to be seen. But certainly they're working real closely with a lot of government folks and academia and private industry to use that as a test bed to test different kinds of video software, audio, whatever, that, you know, requires a lot of bandwidth and a lot of speed.
I remember, it's kind of wrapping up here, Doug Van Howling being on with us talking about, this is way back, Gary, maybe 10 years ago even, somewhere in there. Anyway, he was talking about a project where they got musicians all over the world to get onto the Internet 2 and to play a piece of music simultaneously.
In real time. Right?
In real time.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And so you have to be able to, there's no room for any kind of latency there.
They just wanted to prove how big their pipe is. Right?
Oh, wow. And how well they're doing with that. Mike Brennan, thank you so much again for being with us, as you are every week with Michigan Tech News. And by the way, folks, if you go to the internetadvisor.net page, you can click off right there and find out more details on these headlines we've been talking about and others. Thanks again, Mike, for being with us this week.
Thanks, Foss.
In just a moment, we're going to be wrapping up and getting into our second hour of the program, in which we're going to be answering your questions at 800-859-0957. Just before we do, Andre Arbelias has been with us, president of the Hispanic IT Executive Council. And Andre, I wanted to ask you this quickly, and Cal had asked kind of the same question. What status, what value does technology have among young Hispanics? Is it something cool to be involved in?
Is it different than any other kids? I'm not sure.
It's really no different.
Yeah.
Young children these days are growing up with the concepts of pinching and swiping now. And yep. That's what it's all about. And, you know, with, you know, iPads and Android devices as part of the regular processes, schools are implementing this now at the elementary stage.
My son just loves his touchscreen laptop.
Yes.
Right? I mean, even the laptops are going touchscreen.
But it's what's different now is, as parents, we need to remind our kids that there's technology that makes this happen. I heard you earlier talking about big data. Mm-hmm. Everything now is about big data, and it's the collection now of vast amount of information and being able to minimize it for your use. And companies right now, that's their big thing. So always looking for kids, you know, that are in the science, technology, engineering, mathematics field.
Some heroes in that field?
I'll just give you a couple.
Vision IT, right?
Yeah.
David.
Locally?
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, there's some really good Hispanic IT executives.
Yes.
And entrepreneurs.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, just on our board of directors, we have the CIOs of AT&T, Hewlett-Packard, DHL, Johnson & Johnson Global Surgery.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We have on our advisory board many more, but there's just a lot of great things.
Hear.
And also, by the way, I want to point out, we're also partnering with Uber for a high-tech event.
Great.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That is
Uber
something where if you come to the event, you'll be able to get a promotional code to use the Uber vehicles as well.
Oh, that's cool. You get a vehicle you can use. We'll have to look.
Yeah.
I want to look into that some more.
Yep.
Boy, that's been great to have you on the show with us, Andre. Thank you so much. Andre Arbelias, who is president of Hispanic IT Executive Council, coming up again, the IT Leadership Summit this week. And you can find all that information on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. Speaking of which, it's time for you to bring us your questions at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. We're going to have an entire hour when Cal and Ed get to show just how smart they are, along with Gary, and I get to sit back and bask in the glow. 800-859-0957. You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. If you want to see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage or enter our forums and place your question there. You can also friend us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor Show podcast. Well, this is how it all began almost 16 years ago here on the Internet Advisor. Gary Baker and I answering questions that you listeners would give us a call on. And that's what we're going to do right now for the next hour. Ed, Cal, Gary, and myself, we're going to be here to answer your questions at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. Lines are open. We're getting some folks starting to call in. Time for your question. Give us a call.
Well, Foster is out trying to help somebody here with their...
it was a keyboard issue, I think.
I think it was a keyboard. I think it
no,
was.
He was
sure he could handle it.
Actually, he was out working on a low-tech device.
Oh, so, very true.
I finally got caught.
Very
normally,
true.
I could get by. Never mind. All right. Back here from the Half Moon House. And we have our numbers are open at 800-859-0957. We got some people calling in. I have had a question from a friend of ours that I want to get to in just a moment. But we have John on the line from Jackson A. And John, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
Thank
you for another stimulating and interesting program.
Thank you, sir. Glad to have you with us.
Thanks for listening.
I've listened for all of the 16 years.
Oh, wonderful. Wow. Wonderful.
I still have stuff recorded on old cassette tapes.
Oh, my goodness. You know, we have to replenish our archives.
I was just going to say, we don't even have all that.
I don't have.
If you're interested, I can send you what I have.
Well, I tell you what. Matter of fact, why don't you send me an email? Because I would like to get in touch with you. There have been some programs that there was a shift that we did at one point in time where we lost some of the recordings from before.
We were on our own, in our own environment, our own website,
right.
And then we moved to the WJR website,
right.
And then back out.
Yeah, so I think about 2002,
okay,
3.
I will dig them out and drop you a line.
That's cool. That's, do that,
that
please. Now,
thank
how
you.
Can we help you after all that help?
Actually, I'm at your site now.
Mm-hmm.
I have the computer on,
mm-hmm.
And I go to the forum, and for 2.5+ months,
yeah.
It's been saying to me, sorry, the forum is temporarily unavailable.
Let me explain that to you. I'm glad that I saw your question and the thing there, and I want to tell other people about it. Our forum is something that has existed for many years and worked really well because people would be able to go there 24/7 and get answers to tech questions from people. And not just the guys who are in the studio here with me, but a lot of other really wonderful
Ben
tech
Carpenter
advisors.
And others, so.
Yeah, and what had happened was that we did an upgrade to it, and in the process, the filter that had been there before to keep out spam was lost. And we were flooded, I mean flooded with spam over a period of time, and we've been working on a solution. I think I may have a solution. And
well,
within
we haven't
the next,
been working very hard, right?
Yeah, it's been hard to dedicate the time to it, yeah. But within the next couple of weeks, I do have, I'm going to take a crack at another solution that I have out there. But people should know, John, that if they do have a question that they would normally put into the forum, if they go to the Contact Us button on the homepage, mm-hmm. They can just send us an email with that question, and we will, one of us will get to it as quick as we can and answer it.
Okay, but I wasn't certain because I bought a new computer that came with 8, and I couldn't get used to it.
Oh, dear, okay.
So I dumbed it down to 7 professional.
Mm-hmm. Some people would say that was not dumbing down.
Well, that was, it took me a week to do it.
Oh, dear.
And find all the drivers and stuff.
I didn't know
if it was a problem on my part or.
No. It was strictly behind the scenes at the website, and it is something that we have been working since then to get fixed. And it's kind of tough because you have to find a module that has all the kind of bells and whistles you want so people can very easily use it, but you can keep out the darn bots. Folks, you have no idea when you leave a door open, and this thing left an automatic door open. I wasn't even aware of it.
Well, what happened was we upgraded to a really nice, very new WordPress version of forums, which the then CAPTCHA-like program that we used to filter the spam wasn't available for that particular plugin.
And within 20 minutes, I launched just before a show, within about 20 minutes, it had to be close to 40 spam from every place on the globe and not all of it in English characters.
If some of that spam would just come in those blue cans with the yellow writing, I would take it on with some fried eggs. It would be delicious.
Did you ever make it to the Spam Museum? I went there with the kids on the way to Mount Rushmore. And I got myself one of those hats that's, from Spam. And Spam hats. And that's the only place I could find jalapeno Spam. That and Hawaii. It is the best with eggs.
Really?
Oh,
yes.
Can you tell folks that we handle really high-tech problems here? Like, how do you find jalapeno Spam? In any case, John, we've been suggested a couple of solutions, and I have one that I'm going to try this week or next. I'm going to try to get it up there. And hopefully it'll fly and we won't get buried under all that garbage. But, John, thank you so much for being on the air with us, for listening to us.
I thank you for the info. And
And the
I'll
one,
just wait.
The one question, and you alluded to it, John, and that was for people that just don't want to get used to Win 8. And my son loves it. I know that many of his friends love it. They think it's better. They couldn't figure out why you would use a start button anyway, right? So, but for all the rest of us that are real comfortable with that start button, you took your Windows 8 machine that you just bought, and you went backwards, basically, to Win 7 Professional.
Yes,
it took a while, but you could do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any advice, real quickly? I know we're only got about a few seconds left, but any advice to people out there that want to try this?
Talk to somebody that's much more knowledgeable than me. Yeah.
Did you go to a store to have them do it for you?
Actually, I went to a man that used to design computer chips.
Okay. That's good. So you went to somebody who had the technical background to do it. A lot of small shops, by the way, are good for that kind of thing. John, again, thank you so much for being on the air with us and for all these years and for the help you're offering as well. We'll be back in just a minute at 800-859-0957 to talk with Pauline in Perrysburg and you. I want to take a moment to acknowledge the folks, as we say, behind the glass, the people who are helping us with our program. Scott Iometta, thank you so much for being with us. We also have, I usually call you by a different name every week. Rich Lisinski is there, and Annie, our lady of the telephones. Annie is there. It's worth calling the number, by the way, just to talk to Annie. She's a sweetheart.
We tell people you can hear her smile.
You absolutely can. And to hear that smile and to get your question on the air with us, very simple, 800-859-0957. Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Cal Carson, and myself, Foster Brown, in studios to help you.
So basically what you're saying, you can talk to a very attractive young woman without dialing 1-900.
No, I didn't say that. Jenny, I didn't say that. Honestly,
it's true,
I didn't say that.
But he didn't say it.
And for the FCC's purposes, Cal said that.
Pauline from Perrysburg, Ohio. Welcome, Pauline. How can we help you here at the Internet Advisor before we fall apart?
Now, I don't know much about computers.
Okay.
But I downloaded GasBuddy.com.
GasBuddy, yep.
Yep.
And ever since I did that, when I turn my internet, when I want to get on the internet, it does not come up to my AOL News, which I always had that as my homepage.
Ah, so it changed home pages on you. Did you know? Did Pauline? Did you notice any other changes? Like when you go to search for something, did it take you to a different, let's say, other than Google? I don't know what you would use for search.
No, I don't think I really tried that.
Okay.
But I do know up at the top of my computer, after it comes on, and then all of that stuff will go off. It goes up.
So,
and if I point my cursor up there, it'll come back on.
This whatever is appearing on your screen, you say, goes up and off the screen to the top?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, let's deal with the first
issue.
Yeah,
let's try the first. We got a couple of things going on here, we think.
Okay.
Well, I'm real confused now, and maybe you can clear it up for me, Ed, because it's on the Windows side of the world. GasBuddy.com is a website. How do you download it?
Well, there's an app, I think, an application you can
download. So I think there would be for a phone and possibly a PC.
Right, and it's really great. I use it on my phone all the time.
So perhaps maybe she has a setting in her browser that hides the menu bar, and then when she puts her mouse up there, it exposes the menu bar for her.
I think that's what's going on.
Is that what's happening, Pauline?
Yeah, that's what's happening.
So I think that's the second issue. But the first issue, I think when she installed the GasBuddy app, it probably, we hope it did, because that's what it should have done, ask her. She maybe didn't notice that there was a little box check that said, make this my homepage.
Oh.
So I think what happens is all we have to do is go to settings and in under Internet options. What browser are you using?
What do you mean by that?
Do you use Internet Explorer for looking for
Internet
the blue E?
Yes.
So, Ed, how would we get to change the homepage?
Well, within Internet Explorer, you should have a tool menu, or on the far right side, you might have a tool drop-down menu.
Well, what she's going to have to do first is go up to the top of the screen to make the menu bar drop down for her.
Okay. vehicle.
And then once that menu bar drops down for you, not having a Windows machine in front of you, you're going to go to Tools.
Or you could go
And then go down to Internet Options. And then I would reset it back to its default.
Right. So you said you liked AOL News, yes. Right?
Yes. Or what you could do, could you just use the lock the toolbar if you do a right click on the toolbar up at the top?
Yeah.
No, because it's taking your entire window bar away, so I don't think you want to lock it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you know, what the simplest thing that you might want to try is you can go into Internet Explorer, and it'll set your Internet Explorer back to all its default conditions, which would reset the toolbar and set it to the default website. So, and you do that also by selecting Tools, Internet Options.
And then
you go to the far right tab, and you have the ability to select the Reset button, which would reset Internet Explorer to the previous condition, toolbar, and Microsoft or your manufacturer's default homepage.
So then how do we change that back to her AOL News?
Well, the first thing, we have to find out what it is, and that would be, it could either be AOL.com or it could be AOL.com with a news at the end. We don't know.
News.
So you're going to so after you reset Internet Explorer to its default settings, it's quite possible that the default settings provided by your manufacturer makes AOL your default homepage, and the problem may be corrected at that time. I mean, the same thing within corporations. Corporations, you have the ability of, when you reset Internet Explorer or your default browser and say reset it, in the registry, in the Windows registry, there's a spot where it says the default homepage for this computer provided by the manufacturer is .com, whatever you want. It doesn't have to be the, you know, Microsoft.com.
So for Pauline's sake, then, to break this down, let's
Tools, Internet Options, go to the Advanced tab, and then select Reset.
Okay.
And try that
first of all to see that. That may be the simplest way of getting that back to where you want it.
You said Advanced Tech and then Reset?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Advanced tab. There's multiple tabs at the top. There's like seven of them. And the far right one is Advanced.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you select Reset.
Okay. There's Internet Options clear at the bottom here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, select that.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
And you go from there and try to reset it at that particular point. And then the other thing about the disappearing
It should be taken care of at that point.
That's right, when it goes back to reset. So try that.
And then it's on the General tab.
Go ahead.
On the General tab that you see also, that's where you put your default website. And
It is AOL.com.
And that's where you want to reset it to AOL.com. And you can just type that in there.
And that'll just get rid of the other one and put it back to being what you want.
And you can type that in there. What you can do is you can go into the browser, you find the website that you want to be your default. I mean, after you've reset it, you navigate, you find the AOL News site. This is my page. This is the home page I want every time I go in here. Then once again, you select Tools, Internet Options, and on the General tab, you select the ability to, or you select the option, use this current page as my default. Gary, what was that address on there?
It's just AOL.com.
Oh, so AOL.com.
Very simple. Pauline, thank you for your call. Now, try this, dear. Try out the solutions that we've got. If you don't remember everything that's been said, on Sunday night, we post the podcast where you can go back and you can listen to the kind of thing we've been telling you and see if that helps you, okay? And we'll get back in touch with you.
Or
you
can give us a call back.
Yeah, you can get in touch with us again through the email. All right? Thank you so much, Pauline. Guys, before we get to the break, one of the things that drives me a little bit batty about Windows 8, and my wife has it on her computer, when you're in Internet Explorer 10, I was looking for the print button and couldn't find it anywhere. And the problem may be that that it has been shifted. One of the problems that, and I'm hoping this is one of the changes that they make, that they will make the Internet Explorer interface uniform, that it looks the same both on the Metro side and on the desktop side. But the good news is this, the good old shortcuts still work. Mm-hmm. So Ginny had to print something out of a page that we had. I couldn't find the print button for Love Nor Money.
So Windows P didn't work?
Control P.
Yeah, Control-P.
Or Command, was it?
No, it's Control.
Yeah, Control-P. Control-P, which is the old one that you used to have, a shortcut. When you want to print a page, if you're on the Internet Explorer, you just print Control-P, and boom, it'll print whatever's on there. Or brings your printer up, then, and you can decide.
And most of us know that because, you know, you have copy and paste, right? So control C, and you would think paste would be control P, but Microsoft, in their infinite wisdom, made it control V.
Well, because it's next to P, or next to C, rather. So
yeah.
And I'd say to Jimmy, it's in the form of the V, so it, like, it's pointing to you where you're going to put, anyway.
Oh, well. Oh,
see, I try to use that as a mnemonic there.
So, hey, that works.
But that's
I never could figure it out.
No, actually,
like that,
the true story behind it was they had a mad German working with them. He said, control the V! Put it over there, V!
And there you have your folk history in the internet for today. Thank you
so
very
Joe,
much.
Joe, hang on, and we'll get to you after the break.
Joe will be getting to you also, 1-800-859-0957. Half of this hour left for your questions. Don't, by the way, think it's got to be real complicated. The only dumb question is the one you don't ask. 800-859-0957. It is my pleasure to be in studio here with a group of very smart people. These are the kind of people you call up if they're in your family and have them answer your questions, which I'm sure they get quite a bit of. And that's Mr. Ed Rudell, Cal Carson, and Gary Baker. And my name is Foster Brown, and the number here is 800-859-0957. Quick question, round the horn here for you.
Okay.
We've done this before, but a friend of mine said, would you please ask the guys this weekend, what software do you use, if you do, to keep all of your passwords in? There's like 1Password, RoboForm. There's some other ones. I'm trying to think of some of the other names. But is there any favorite
password
one?
Password One or something.
Yeah. Do you use one, Gary?
I started with RoboForm, and I was having trouble with it on my phone. Yeah. And so I don't use it as often.
Because I use RoboForm, and I've had exactly the same problem with the iPhone. Now, on my desktop, it works just fine.
It does.
But the problem is, I bought RoboForm everywhere, which means I should be using it, and I can't get it to sync up, which is driving me nuts. Ed?
I use a contact in my phone, that a fictitious name, that I store the address, you know, like Amazon.com, and, allparts.com, where I buy electronic components, and I have my username in there, and then I sort of encrypt or use an alternate way of typing in a password so that it is a reminder of what that password is.
So,
and they are not all the same.
Okay, so they're in your phone, and essentially if somebody stole your phone, they could get it, but you've encrypted the password.
Basically,
so
yeah.
They can't do it. Okay, how about you, Cal?
I don't use anything on my phone except for my memory for my passwords, but on my desktop I use 1Password, and for me, it works wonderfully. I love it.
I have been thinking about switching.
What I actually do is I have a Excel spreadsheet that I keep everything in, and I keep that in the cloud. So I keep it on SkyDrive. Mm-hmm. It's password protected so that I have the 1Password to get into that, and then all of the other passwords are all different.
Right.
And I don't have to remember them because I can very easily go to to that file, type in the password for that file, and then that'll come up and give me all the passwords.
And because they're in the cloud,
I can get to it from my phone, anywhere.
You use iCloud, but you could use
Google Drive.
Dropbox, yep. Google Drive.
Well, and that's what I did that's what I did recently for myself, my contacts. I was at a location, phone wasn't available, and I'm like, that's my password. So I did copy that contact into my Google Drive.
Okay. So there are ways of keeping this in the drive. Go ahead.
And I also incorporated a new thing that I started working with, and that is I use the same password base, but I add something in addition to it depending on the site that I'm going to.
Okay. So you might add an exclamation point or an asterisk.
Or, like the third and fourth character of the website. As an example.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Effect.
That's way too clever for me to remember. As I get older, I like having a single place to go where it's got it all in. Mm-hmm. And the cloud sounds like maybe one of the safest places. But I've also heard that 1Password is
bad.
Is bad?
Having one password for
everything? No, he's talking about the application.
Oh, the application. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you're right. Having one password's bad.
Very bad to have just one password for everything.
Because if they break it in one place, then they got it everywhere.
Right, that's what happened to that one guy that... They got into his Amazon account, and once they got into his Amazon account, Amazon at the time was storing people's credit card numbers. It showed their last four credit cards on the display when you logged in and said, which of these credit cards would you like to use? Once they got that, he was done for.
I want to use them all.
Yeah, the other thing that I like about 1Password is that if I don't want to come up with passwords on my own, it will develop them for me and store them.
Yeah, in RoboForm, you can generate a password as well. You can also, for instance, if you've run into this, you can store all of like your credit card information, passport, everything in a certain file. And when you come up to that place in the internet, it'll say, I want to fill those in. It says, you sure? And then you can use that to fill in the forms. I found that to be very handy. Yeah. But again, the 1Password that Cal's talking about is the number one followed by the word password.
So I will tell you that I had people ask me, he says, well, if you put it in the cloud, what if you can't get to that file? How are you going to get into whatever it is that you know you're looking for the password for? And he thought for a minute, and he goes, oh, yeah, never mind. I guess if you can't get to that file, you don't need it anyway, because you can't get to the Internet.
Yeah, so it doesn't really make much sense. Okay, let's go back to our phones, and let's talk with Dave, who is from Ann Arbor. Dave, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you, guys. My problem is I have two McAfee products, one that keeps things out from the Internet and the other one to get rid of worms and programs, I think is what it is. But somehow I know I did it. I loaded PC fixed speed and I didn't get any worm names. And I don't use it, but I can't get rid of it because when I go to deinstall it, it says you need a program, which I don't have, which I know is just part of their trap. Is there any way I can go into registries myself and fix registries?
Well, guys,
there is, but you don't want to, probably.
Right. Yeah. It's like kind of digging into an engine nowadays and looking for a carburetor.
It's about being in the dark and taking a screwdriver and trying to figure out which wires live in your fuse box. You know, you're liable to do more damage than you.
Right. I mean, you might get lucky on removing some things in the registry, but you have to have experience. So you're saying you have a
PC fix it or something like that showed up.
Yeah, but and that's
so what,
like a,
what's the name of it though? Let's get that down right.
PC fix speed.
PC fix
speed.
Yeah, S P E E D.
Okay.
PC fix speed. Yeah, that sounds like one of the scams.
And that's like one of the scam utilities that masquerade as a real product. Have you tried a legitimate scanner like Malwarebytes or CombiFix?
No.
Okay. On the Internet Advisor website, so internetadvisor.net, we've been using this product for years. You go at the top of the page, select the toolbar, or tools, and then in there you'll see that you have five options, free antivirus, free anti-malware, and a few others, free rootkit scanners. The free malware, you want to select that link, and you'll be able to download for free a utility called Malwarebytes. And it's an anti-malware utility scanner for free. And when you install it, by default, it'll install a free 30-day version of real-time protection. You do not have to enable that. You can disable that if you want in the future. But it's a great utility. We've been recommending it for years, and it does seem to get rid of a lot of these programs, the things, these scareware programs that you have on your computer right now. The thing is, a lot of these programs are wise to companies like McAfee and Malwarebytes and Norton, and they prevent you from downloading those utilities. Specifically because they know they can be used to get rid of them. So you may have to go to another computer to download them or power up your computer in safe mode with networking. So when you power up your computer, you can tap the F8 key and then you should... Is it running Windows 7 or Windows Vista or are you running Windows 8?
7.
Good. So you're lucky.
So Dave, here's what I did. I just went to Google. I typed in PC fix speed. The very first entry was from pcfixspeed.com, and it said how great it was. The next 7 or 8 entries were how to get rid of it.
Yep, exactly.
And one of them, a third one down, was from Malwarebytes forums, and they talk about how to get rid of it. But if you go to PC Fix Speed
Removal, just type that in there,
and you'll come up in Google.
Yeah, if you said removal, you wouldn't even get the first one that their site that is promoting their own malware. But all the rest of them, there's a number of different ways.
And I got to one. Have you guys heard of it's the number 2spyware.com, 2spyware.com. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's an interesting site because on that PC Fix Speed Removal, it brought this up. And what's interesting about it is they have a remover.
Yeah, there is a remover out there. There's a couple of the sites that talk about it.
Yeah, so you're in luck in this sense. This obnoxious little thing called PC Fix Speed. Folks, if you see anything for that, avoid it like a plague. If you do happen to get hit with it, though, there are sites that actually have put together little pieces of script that will go in and tear the stuff out of your system. Yeah. But then after you're done with that, I would do what Ed said. You run Malwarebytes, and then what's the other
Combo Fix?
Combo Fix would be the other one to run.
Yeah.
But the basic thing is this, Dave. There are some fixes out there. You can go and take a look at these things. Again, put into Google PC Speed Fix or PC Fix Speed.
Removal.
PC Speed Fix Removal.
Yeah,
fix and then removal. You'll have a lot of solutions to provide themselves for you there, okay?
Okay. Does Malwarebytes ask for your credit card number?
No.
No.
It's absolutely free. Never will it ask for your credit card.
Don't allow anybody to get that information.
And the gentleman that started that, we've had him on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's a great guy, great resource.
They have 4 pay products, but you should not be seeing anybody asking you for your credit card. Back in just a moment, we've got Joe from Livonia and Jack Nexter. We were just talking in the break here that something happened yesterday with one of the huge telcos, Verizon, as a matter of fact. I'm not on Verizon. But Ed, you said that there had been a breakdown in the system?
Yeah, you know, I didn't find out exactly what happened. Gary, did you?
I didn't either.
I just know that it was down for several hours. Wow. And, of course, we have many of our customers are on our highly expedited. People are on that, and
business impact.
Yeah, we kept on getting these emails from Verizon customer support. There's no business impact.
Well, let me
just
tell you,
affecting voice and data.
I was at a meeting with about 15 other CIOs in the area down at Quicken Loans yesterday. Which, by the way, we got a tour. Quicken Loans is. We're going to get those guys on the air here. They have a great IT group down there.
No, you're doing it the wrong way, Gary. They've got a wonderful candy bar down there. We need to do a remote down there.
You're right. Good point. It's a wonderful group. But anyway, so we're all sitting in a room, and half of the guys, you know, and women that are sitting around the table, all CIOs, and half of them are on Verizon. They can't get in,
Oops.
Can't get out. I was on the phone with one of them on the way down. We were both on the way down. It dropped.
Yep.
I left him a voicemail message in his voicemail box, so at least I still could get there. But if they're talking about no business impact, I will tell you that half of us were not on Verizon, and the other half that were are soon not to be.
It's like the old parable.
And they're taking their companies with them because they're kind of going, we can't have this.
Right.
We can't be down.
But
now, everybody goes down, right?
Yeah.
Everybody goes down. I think some of us were overreacting a little bit to Verizon, but... You know, they better acknowledge they made a mistake.
And they had a business
and
impact.
Figure out how to fix it, right?
You see, this goes the same way as it did with Carnival and the cruise line. You know, if you ante up right in the beginning and make it right, people won't leave.
Right.
But
right.
if you try to, you know, negate it or play it off like,
oh,
it's no big deal or nothing like that,
it
you know, they're going to just take their business and go elsewhere. Yeah. And that seems to be proper.
Yep.
All right. So anyway, I think there was a business impact.
All right. We got Joe from Livonia who's been patient with us. How you doing, Joe? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Not going to be patient any longer. What do you think about it?
There you go. All right.
How you doing?
All righty. First of all, thanks for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, this one is mostly going to probably be shooting at Cal. I've got an HP scanner, the 4670. And as near as I can find, the last updates in terms of software or anything that they did for it was for 10.4. Are there any other sites other than an HP site or other than Apple that might have done software updates so that I could use it, say, either on 10.5 or on 10.8 of Mac?
I can't remember the exact name of the company, but there is another company that does write drivers for scanners that the manufacturers or the OSs quit writing for, and I'll have to look it up and find out. But I will tell you this. You're better off just dumping that scanner and buying a new one that is compatible, because what they were charging for the software was more than the scanner.
Wow.
Yeah. And even the same, and I have a scanner from that we've been using for years. It's a USB scanner, HP product, wonderful. They stopped making even Vista drivers on it. So we have one system at home because everyone's buying multifunctionals.
Yes. I had to buy, Joe, just an example. I had to go out and buy a Brother's printer for Ginny for the Windows 8 machine because it would recognize my HP wireless printer on some of the applications. Mm-hmm. But on the Metro side, it wouldn't recognize it at all. And if you go to the HP website, and I know this is kind of bashing them, but if you go to the website, it says, we haven't got the drivers yet, but we'll be coming up with them soon.
Yeah.
And it just didn't
work.
They don't. So I spent the $80, literally at Best Buy, it was a great sale, $80 for this multifunction color Brothers inkjet printer, which will not be the same quality as what I had before. But it does the job, and it just, everything works now.
And I think you're talking about a flatbed scanner, am I correct?
No, it's not a flatbed. It was kind of a semi-vertical.
Okay.
I mean, it was tilted on an angle.
Yes, I see that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the greatest places I like to go shop is Micro Center, which is local to the Detroit area.
Yeah, I was there. That's where I bought my Mac Mini.
For all of $90, you can get a brand new scanner. A Canon makes one, the LIDE 210 photo scanner. Excellent scanner. And,
great quality.
You know, you'll just be in better shape just going with something like that rather than trying to find a driver for a scanner that's some years old. And you're going to get even better resolution on it anyway.
Okay, Joe.
Yeah, I guess that'll have to do it. I had a few others, and I lost my mind someplace.
All right, call in next week or give us an email.
You know you're getting old when you outlive your electronics. You know, and I've got some – a lot of these products that
Thanks,
I make
Joe.
A lot of these products they make, they're over-engineered, these first-generation scanners.
Oh, yeah.
They're just wonderful. And I still get very high resolution with these things.
Yep.
And
some of the older ones. I had an Epson where the print had stopped, but the scanning worked.
Yeah.
And it worked with Windows 8 natively. Boom, done.
Yeah.
It worked just perfectly with it. Okay, let's get to Jack from Dexter and see if we can help him with Windows 8, speaking of which. How you doing, Jack?
Oh, yeah, not doing bad at all. If I could get my problem solved.
Oh. You're having trouble installing Windows 8?
Yeah, I got the Walmart special there. I downloaded the $40 back in January when they were offering Windows 8 for $40.
Oh, okay. So you've got, was it Windows 8 or Windows 8 Pro?
I think it's
Pro.
Pro. I also
yes.
have the disc. What it is I've got an Acer Inspire there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I don't know, 4 years old. I put 4 gigabytes of RAM in it.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
And to, you know, puff it up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And anyway, I ran the program. The program inspects the computer, you know, to see if things are kosher
for it
to work, and it says everything's okay.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And it goes ahead with the install, and it chugs, and it chugs, and it goes up to the 72% point, and then it just stops. It doesn't say a thing.
I'm wondering.
The little spinner keeps going.
Do you have the product code number for that? Did they provided you with the disc?
I took a picture of it, yeah, but I don't have it with me.
No, but I mean, you have access to that number.
Yes, I do.
Guys, here's a thought. See what you think about this. Go to Microsoft and download it. Download Windows 8 Pro.
Yep.
And as you're installing it then from there, it will ask you for that product. You put the product number in.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the problem is with the disk, that would get rid of that problem.
Well, I really didn't get a disk. It was a download. It was right into memory.
Okay, right? Well, then you may have had a glitch during the download.
I should attempt to download it.
You can so go back to Microsoft.
Okay, fine.
You know, that's one answer. The other thing is there might be something else that's going wrong
with
the install.
I've got a disc, you know. I've also bought a disc when they were selling them for $60 or something like that for the Pro. And I bought that too, but I didn't attempt this on this particular.
Well, what you may be able to do is use the Windows 8 Pro installation media, but use the other license key.
Okay.
Because I believe the installation media is the same for all of their versions of Windows 8.
Yes.
And it's dependent on, like, this is what they did for Windows 7. And depending on the license code or the product key that you put in there,
you unlock certain.
You unlock that first that feature.
Okay.
So the key to this, pardon the pun, is that key, the product key. That will, no matter what the medium you're using, whether you're going to Microsoft.com and downloading it or using the disk or whatever else, that product key is the most important thing to hang on and hang on to it tight, okay?
And thank you.
You're very welcome. I hope that works for you. And thank you for all of you that gave us a call. Now, remember, InternetAdvisor.net is the place to go to find our show notes from today's program. Also, you will be able to hear there. I will have the podcast ready for download on Sunday night, and you can download and listen to some things again and maybe get some more information out of that. Keep in touch with us through the Contact Us button on the homepage, and I do sincerely hope I'll be able to get that forum up within the week so that we can get back to helping people 24/7. Thank you so much, Gary and Ed and Cal, for being here. It's been a great show.
My pleasure.
On behalf of our crew and everybody behind the glass, you've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisors Show, the longest-running, locally produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit InternetAdvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.